Welcome back to Drinks First. Today I have a really exciting guest. I'm really excited to talk to you because I know that you're hilarious and
that's too nice.
Lots to say. So welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be on here. I have done one podcast before and I was pleasantly surprised with how my voice sounded. Usually it's annoying, but it's fine. So
no, it's very weird to like record your own voice and then have to listen back to it.
Yeah.
The first time I ever recorded this podcast, I was like, what the fuck is that?
But also in person, I feel like most of my friends know my voice can get pretty high when I'm excited. And so they always make fun of my voice, but I feel like on podcasts, I'm usually chill. So
yeah. So there we go. So we're just gonna get started by talking about the basics. I mean, I can obviously talk a little bit how I know you, but I think we'll get into that. So yeah. Do you want to tell me how old you are, where you're from, and where you live in New York now?
Yes. So I'm 27. I live in Tribeca now. I'm curious if you've had anyone who on here who would know me. I actually saw someone in from your grade on the train.
Oh, really?
And I pretended like I didn't see them. But yeah.
That's how we know each other, is from high school. Which is, I mean, that we were in different grades, but yeah. It was a very small and specific experience to have been in.
Yeah, I feel like you weren't really friends with many people in my grade.
Yeah, I was in your grade. I felt slightly like there are times that I felt closer to your grade. My experience in high school was a very specific one.
I was just going to ask, like, what did you think of our school? I guess, like, did you have a good experience? Like looking back now.
I would say that for the most part, I had a terrible experience.
Really?
Yeah, I really didn't like it. I joined in 10th grade after being at Hunter since preschool. Mm-hmm. So my brother had gone to collegiate for all 12 years. So I was like very familiar with the private school kind of like scene and circle and things like that. A lot of friends who went to private school, but by like 8th, 9th grade, I felt like I wanted a change from Hunter.
Yeah.
And after 7th grade, Hunter gets very like, it becomes bigger. It goes from the elementary school's 48 people to it goes to 250 people.
That's a big,
and
yeah.
That's a lot. That's like big in terms of what we're used to. But in public school terms, like it's small. Like Stuyvesant is 1,000 people per grade.
Yeah.
So it was like in relative, it's small, but to us it was big because we were 60 girls. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest difference for me was going from like a co-ed experience.
Yeah.
And that's like what I was so used to. And I mean, St. Hilda's St. Hughes was also co-ed.
Yeah. But I feel like I was so ready to leave the co-ed. Not that I didn't like it, but I feel like at that age of, you know, 7th, 8th grade, I'm just there to learn. Why the fuck are you throwing shit? Like, I was so over the boys at that age.
Mm.
And I think my parents, my dad mostly wanted me to go to an all-girls school, which looking back, I think I'm so grateful that it was all girls.
Mm.
But yeah, at that time I was just like, bro, what the fuck up? Like, can you just like sit down, stop shaking your leg? You're the whole table shaking. Like, I'm so done with it. Whereas then, you know, I think being at an all-girls school in those high school years, I think then was the perfect, you know, way for me to actually focus. No one gives a shit about what you're wearing. And I feel like that was just good for me.
Yeah. So, I mean, I definitely saw the upside in all of that. I thought it wouldn't be a big deal going from co-ed school to going to all-girls school. My brother was the only one actually who was like against me going to Spence. My parents were like, you should do it. Like, it's a great opportunity. It'll be really great for college because at Hunter, the college process is very different. They like limit the amount of schools you can apply to. You have 5 minutes with your college counselor that you're like randomly assigned to. So a lot of people like will pay outside college counselors to consult with. So the biggest reason I went to Spence was that my parents thought it would be a good opportunity for me for college.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm Asian. My parents like cared a lot about where I went to college. So they thought it was a good idea. I was open to the idea. I was kind of like, I wanted a new experience. I wanted a new environment, a new challenge. And I had applied to co-ed schools, but because it was 10th grade, it was a weird, like, it was just harder to get into places because there weren't as many spots. So I'd gotten into Spence and it was the only all-girls school I'd applied to. And my parents always wanted me to go to Brearley, but I like visited it when I was like in fifth grade because they wanted me to go in for middle school. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hell no.
It looks like a jail. I always think of it as a jail. And it's also, it's too hard.
Yeah. I mean, Spence is a beautiful school.
Yeah.
Like walking in there, I think I was really like, I was enchanted by being at a public school. And Hunter is like better than other public schools in terms 100%. Of facility also, because like you're on the Upper East Side, you're in like a safe neighborhood. Yeah. The building is a little questionable because like there's no windows.
There over I think after my freshman year, just to get credit. Yeah, I've been there. Yeah, it's totally, it's great.
Not Hunter College, but Hunter College High School, like on 94th and Park. So that armory building, there are no windows. They're like the only windows are in the hallways. It's like kind of dingy, but like, you know, you don't know what you're missing when you don't have it. And then I knew a little bit, like my brother went to collegiate when it was in the old building. So
that building was nice.
But the old building was like a little dilapidated, like it was kind of falling apart. It was like half was like in half a 100-year church. Yeah. Like the new building is like private school level, like
the new building,
gorgeous building. But like the old building had charm, but I wouldn't say it was like the nicest school in the world.
Yeah. But it is such a unique experience to say, like, you know, walking around and you're with someone out of town, you're like, oh yeah, that like townhouse was where I went to school.
Yeah. No. So when I went to Spence and I visited, I was like shocked. I was shocked that like people got to go to school in a place that had like an atrium and like these beautiful the whole reason I applied for 10th grade was back in seventh grade, I was like super stubborn and said that if I was leaving Hunter, I would only go to boarding school.
Interesting.
Yeah. Very so I only applied to boarding school for ninth grade and I was almost going to go to Choate. And then I like did the Choate summer program and I was like, why in the world would I decide to move to Wallingford, Connecticut? Yeah. I was like, that is, what the hell am I thinking? And I was like super, super stubborn. And my parents were like, if you're already doing these applications, like apply to private school, like in the city.
Yeah.
And I was like, if I'm going to stay in the city, I'm going to stay at Hunter. And that was the wrong decision. Cause then I ended up applying to private school for 10th grade, which made it like 10 times harder. And being at Spence and like walking in and seeing like farm to table cuisine and a spin studio and like they had just done the new townhouse.
I was gonna say they got the townhouse behind it, like I think either my year or when you
got it was there. Like open, I think my first year there.
I mean, it's so insane. Like it was already a gorgeous mansion. They buy the townhouse behind it and then renovate it, connect it with like glass walkways. It's gorgeous. And then they also had the lower school, which I went to for like preseason and sports. And then they also just built, I mean, we didn't get to see it, but did you hear the new?
Yeah. So I actually, I went like for one of their like alum events and the sports center is gorgeous. Like
they said it has like 12 squash courts.
It has 12 squash courts.
I'm like, I'm thinking back. I'm like, okay, of the 55 girls in my grade, I can remember two that played squash.
Yeah.
I'm like, in what world do we need five?
But they're just niching down on like the sports that get you into college.
I can't wait till we get a whole new facility for just like pickleball because that's like the new
literally,
thing.
Literally. That's probably what's going to happen. Like massive, like full-size basketball court. It's also a volleyball court, obviously, because Spence is really good at volleyball. Yeah. On the roof, there's like a whole cooking center.
Oh, wow.
Like for ecology classes and like cooking classes and things like that. There's like a rooftop garden. Like this is the shit that people watch Gossip Girl and they're like, there's no way this is actually real. And you're like, no, it's real.
Yeah. It didn't like when I was there, though, it didn't feel like, whoa, this is so special. I think because I already went to, you know, private school before and we already had a, you know, greenhouse on top and all this. So I guess I was used to it. I think the one thing that I was not used to, which I have found happened again when I went to college. I feel like I was at the top of my class in middle school. Like I was tutoring kids in my grade, you know, because they weren't understanding it. And I feel like I was at the top of my class, get dispense. I was so average. It was like a slap in the face of like, holy shit. Like, wow, I really need to like get my ego checked because that was a lot. And then the same thing happened at when I went to college where it's like, oh, everyone from my school like went to Harvard, Princeton, Stanford, and I'm just like going to, you know, fucking Emory. It wasn't even my first choice. Literally first year, freshman year, I failed three classes. Failed. And I'm like, what the fuck? I went to Spence. Like, what the fuck am I doing? Like,
yeah.
So, yeah.
No, I like, and I know that was also a lot of the case for kids who came into Hunter because in seventh grade, when it turns into high school, like the only people who can take the Hunter test are people who are in like the top, I think like 3 or 1% of their public school middle school class. So those are the people who are like eligible to take it. And then from that, it's like thousands of people take the test and there's only 200 spots. So it was all of the people who came into Hunter were very, very smart. And they were really used to being the top of their class when they were in middle and lower school. And then when they came in for high school, they didn't have that same experience.
Yeah.
So I know that was an experience for people across the board. Hunter was a really good school. Like I always felt challenged there. It was right on par with the education we got at Spence, but it was free. It just wasn't as personalized. That was the only difference. And I like, I don't know quantifiably if I can say the like $60,000 a year you pay to go to private school is worth like all of the like hoopla you get with it.
Yeah.
And there are places in New York City where you can get just as high quality of an education for free.
Yeah.
But obviously not everybody is able to get that opportunity. So it's like, if you aren't able to get into a specialized high school or like middle school, then I think being at private school could be worth it for you. But
I also feel like I was watching a TikTok on this. I think someone was moving to the city and talking about sending their kids to private school. And then there was a whole debate and a lot of the comments. And I think the person who made the video I feel like what you're paying for is maybe, I want to say like maybe 75, 80% of the actual like education and, you know, help to go to college because obviously they have those connections. But it's also like it's the alumni network is insane.
Yeah, you're paying for like access.
The connections. And also just like it, I hate to say it, but it is like the name. It's like when you say, you know, Chapin, Dalton, Trinity, Spence, all those schools, people are like, oh shit, you are in it. Like you went, you know, the people, you were in the scene. And I think that's what a lot of that gets you.
Where,
you know, I work in fashion, which we can get into later, but one of the alumni events that I went to, the founder of Net-a-Porter, her daughter goes to Spence. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, this is insane. And this is a free like event that I'm just going, I met her, like I have her email, like that's insane.
Yeah.
So I feel like a lot of it is the connect.
I will say like, I definitely agree, but I think very specifically when you are in a specialized public school like Hunter, those connections are also very similar. Like Lin-Manuel Miranda went to Hunter and he's there. Really? Like he visits all the time. Like we would see him all the time.
That's crazy. I had no idea.
Yeah. There are some really high profile, like Cynthia Nixon went to Hunter, Elena Kagan. Like there are two Supreme Court justices who went to Hunter. Like there are some really crazy smart people who came out of that school as well. It's not the alumni network isn't as well connected as Spence's is, but Spence's is the best alumni network of any independent school in New York City, like consistently every single year. And that's because they do all of these events and they stay really like active with their alums. So I do definitely appreciate that. I'm getting more out of the alum network from Spence than I am from Hunter. But the name carries just as much weight. And I think that it's interesting to have both experiences because private school and public school are very different. And being co-ed and being all girls is very different.
Yeah.
And I like never, the reason I didn't like Spence was I felt like I couldn't really find who I was there. It was like very hard for me to place myself both just like socially and in a way academically. And that wasn't something I had ever experienced before.
Yeah.
Like any after school program I ever had, any camp I went to, any like school that I had gone to, I never had issues making friends. I've always been really outgoing. It was second nature to me.
Yeah.
I'm like a very social person.
I know you. Yeah, you are a very social person.
And when I got to Spence, like that, for some reason, didn't translate well.
Yeah.
I think there was a lot of politics that I just wasn't privy to, being like at an all-girls school, the way that a lot of people gossip and talk and there are rumors. Like, people knew who I was before I came to school.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't something I was necessarily anticipating. But like, I knew, like I had gone to preschool with one girl who was at Spence, and then I knew somebody like through my brother who, like, through the collegiate network, somebody else in my grade. So those were like, I had some connection to people in my grade, but when it came to trying to find a friend group and making friends, like, it was hard. It was difficult. I think because I was very social and I felt very comfortable around boys, and I already had like a bit of a social life outside of school that wasn't related to school, it just in ways I think came across that maybe I was social climbing, or maybe that I was like trying to be friends with certain people. And it was more so that I was just trying to be friends with anyone.
Yeah.
But I think that there were things like kind of working against me, but also maybe I was trying too hard. Like,
yeah,
that's
crazy, because I don't like remember that at all. But again, we were in different grades, so I don't know. But
yeah. And I also think that like most people don't remember like the nuances when you think of high school. Like, one of my closest friends now is somebody I went to Spence with.
I feel like you, not that this like negates your experience, but like I feel like you did leave with, you know, lifelong friends.
Somebody I had left high school with is now one of my closest friends. When I think back on my high school experience, and when she thinks back on our high school experience, we remember two very different things.
Yeah.
And like, I don't think people realize that I was struggling as much as I was when I was
That's like school. A lot of, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people go through that where, you know, on the outside, you know, you seem so, you know, happy and bubbly, and on the inside you're like, just fuck me. Like,
yeah, no. Oops. And like, that's what it was. And it was a situation that I wasn't used to being in, because I was like, I am a social person. I have a lot of friends, and like, why is it not working here? And that like bled into my academics. It just bled into my mental health. It was like not something I was equipped to work with. And it hurt me. Like, I think 10th and 11th grade were like some of the like worst years of my life.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I got to kind of senior year that I started feeling more comfortable and finding my place a little bit more. But even until the end of school, like, things felt very uncomfortable for me. I was really happy to leave.
Yeah.
And
well, I'm sorry you had that experience. I don't know. I feel like everyone has a different time there. And I think it depends a lot on the grade and like who.
Yeah.
But yeah. There were definitely times where I'm like, I would rather be 6 feet under, because this sucks.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm not having like a Baja blast right now. Like, this is bad.
And I think that that would happen at any school. Yeah. Like, people have their ups and downs. I just think I had like a specific experience, and it's no one's fault. Like, I can't pinpoint it on anyone. It is no one's fault. It's like, it was just like the perfect storm of things that didn't work out well for me. But ultimately, like, I still stay engaged with like the Spence community. I am proud that like I went there. I do like a lot of the people who we went to school with.
Yeah.
And it's not like I don't have a vendetta against anyone at all. Nobody, like, I'm not that kind of person. It was just like a hard time in my life. And if I were to do it over, I probably wouldn't have made the decision to go to Spence.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, had I not made that decision, I don't know if I would be where I'm at in life today.
Yeah, it is crazy. So, to think about, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so you may not even have this podcast. So like,
exactly.
Yeah.
I went to school at Carnegie Mellon, and I don't know if I would have ended up there had I gone to Hunter.
Yeah.
It wasn't a school that was like pushed by Spence.
Yeah.
Nobody had gone there. And like, I think the last person who had gone there before me was five or six years older than me.
Oh, wow.
So there wasn't like really any direct alum that had gone. Yeah. And then also like after I went, then they started pushing the school more. I heard like from girls who were younger that more and more people started applying. I don't think, again, like anybody was accepted until like 5 or 6 years after I was out of school. I don't know if there was anybody else from Spence who ended up going, but going to CMU was like the best decision of my life. I had like the best time. The minute I got to school, the first day I was there, I made friends that ended up being my friends for the rest of college and even till now. So I got to school and I was like, oh, I'm not a fucking social outcast, like a social pariah. Like I'm not, like I always knew I was this person who was like friendly and could make friends and was like outgoing, and going to college just validated all of that for me. And I was like, oh, it like wasn't me.
Yeah.
It was the environment I was in.
Yeah. Everyone just needs that one like place or experience or something where it's just like, oh, I'm fine. Like, I don't need to like be wearing the grippy socks. I'm fine. Like, it wasn't.
Yeah. So like, I mean, long-winded answer, obviously, to asking my experience there.
Yeah. I mean, that could be its own podcast of just like talking about the New York City private schools.
Well, the next like few questions are like where you went to school, what you're doing now. So those are like the next two main questions. We already touched on it a little bit, but like give us the spiel.
So I went to New York City private school, then I went to Emory, which was fine. I feel like it actually weirdly made more religious, which I feel like anyone who went to Emory can probably not vouch for, but like it was so Jewish, more than I thought. And my mom's Jewish, which technically makes me Jewish. So I just wasn't really connected to that side before I went. So I'm glad I went. And in that respect, I think it was okay. There wasn't a lot of school spirit. Like I feel like a lot of people went to, you know, Cornell or Vandy or Northwestern and they're diehard. They're like, Merck, or like Michigan, and they're like Merck, wake up, pregame, family visit, like all this stuff. No one gives a fucking shit about sports at Emory.
No like, football team.
No football team. And I don't think I ever went to one sports game ever. Not one. And also I found that at Emory, I want to say 50% of the people I talked to, including myself, all say this was not my first choice school. It's like, oh, you didn't get into Van, you didn't get into, you know, whatever,
Penn. Duke or whatever. Yeah.
So I didn't get into WashU, which looking back, thank Christ. I should not have gone there.
Why was that your first choice?
I don't like my cousin went there, which is like the worst excuse to go to a 4-year education. I just thought she was like cool. So I was like, oh, go there because I'm cool. But no, I'm glad I went to Emory. I think I just liked college in general. Mm-hmm. I think I had a great time in high school, but I think I just had so much fun because college, not just Emory, but like college is just so fun because like your parents aren't there and you could just do whatever the fuck you want. And like, that's almost, it's not my life motto to do whatever the fuck you want, but like the way I go about a lot of things is like, I could die tomorrow. Like just do whatever the fuck you want. If you want to like go out with your ex again, like, do it. Who gives a shit? Like, you're literally on this earth once. Just do whatever you want. So I feel like college was kind of the time to, I don't know, embrace that. But yeah, I went there pre-med, failed all my classes, quickly switched to Latin and art history because those were things I was good at. But I guess I knew it, but I was like, no, I want to be the best at the hardest thing, which is never the right answer. And so I excelled in Latin and art history, and now I'm in fashion. So
yeah. The thing about Emory is like my brother also went to Emory and
His fiance was in my sort.
So they like, Emory wasn't either of their first choice schools either, but I do think most people who go like have a good experience because it's also like, it's a beautiful school. You are in like warm weather, which is like not something we grew up with. So like your endorphins are just higher. Like living in Pittsburgh I loved school, but like going to visit Emory and visiting my brother, I was like, oh, you know, this was an option that I didn't take.
I think the coldest it ever got was like 40 degrees.
Yeah, so
it was great in that respect.
But it is like the thing about Emory and what was different about being at CMU was being at CMU, there wasn't like that many kids from New York. Going to Emory, you're like, there are so many kids from New York.
I know. And I'm actually really glad that I feel like city kids do tend to, you know, live together and room together. I did room with a girl freshman year, but after that, I lived with these two girls for the next 3 years, and I still keep in touch with them. And I'm so glad, just because I feel like they kept me, like, they humbled me in a good way. And also, like, I exposed them to good things. And it was a very big city school, which I think some people find comforting, which is nice to be like, oh, you know, you go to a Sig Chi party and, oh, the kid in the year he went to, you know, Fieldston, like, oh, cool. That's just like a grounding point for you to feel more not accepted, but I guess in a safe place.
It does kind of set up like some social like security for you, where you're like, oh, I think a lot of girls like who went to Penn and stuff like that, they were like, oh, well, I know this girl from like private school, like she can be in our sorority. I know she's cool, you know, like there. But at the same time, it still sort of reinforced that same kind of like city dynamic. I think for me personally, I was like happy to be in a place that didn't have that, because I like thrived outside of that. But like, I can see how it's super comforting for other people, because you get to college and you're like, oh, well, I kind of have these laurels to like ride on. Like, people know I'm like a verified person.
Yeah. And I feel like that happens in dating now, that I find, which I feel like it's not a bad thing, but it's like, if I have no mutual friends with you, it's not even that I don't believe you like exist, but it's like, you could murder me and like chop my body up, stuff it in a suitcase and throw it in the East River. Like, no one, there's no one to tell me that, you know, oh, you're a real person. You're not like a bot or a serial killer. So I find it to be helpful with dating too.
Yeah, you want that like two-factor authentication, you know?
Yeah, that's such a good way to put it. But again, I feel like that there are times where it's like a little too close to home, where it's like, okay, I need to get out of the Emory bubble. I can only go so far, because I feel like the last few people that I've hung out with, it's like, oh, you know, one was at Emory, but older, and we weren't, you know, I didn't know him then. Or, oh, there was one guy who went to like Fieldston and then Cornell, and I was set up by someone who was in my grade at Spence. So I feel like I'm sort of straight, just
like 2 degrees away. Yeah. Well, I have 2 more questions before we like really get into the meat of it, but like, where do you like to eat in New York, and where do you like to go out?
Oh, yeah. So I have come prepared, because I, of course, listened to your podcast and I wrote those down. And so obviously I have a note with all my answers. But
I'm done.
So for eating, I feel like the one place that I love to go back to recently is Sud in East Village. And I had my birthday dinner there with my closest friends. And I love it there. The food is so good. That's one of the few places that I'm like, I think about the food and I like dream about it. And I just love it. And then I went to, I don't know how to say it, Principe.
Yeah,
in Soho. And that was unbelievably good.
Was it actually? It's not like hyped up.
No. It was actually like, I went there with my parents for my birthday dinner, and it was spectacular. And this, you know, the scene was good. I like the whole interior. But yeah, I guess for like normal eating out, I feel like bots are the Odeon. And it's always like a fun, lively scene. And similarly is Anton's in the West Village. So I like to eat there. And then going out, which again, thank God I studied your podcast, because I saw coincidentally one of the places that I think one of the guys founded it, Outer Heaven. I had the best time there. I don't know what it was. I don't think it was the music. I don't know. It was like the setup. It was the people who were there. That was the first time in a long time that I thought the people that were there, I felt like I was equally matched. Like we all kind of get it. We're all kind of the same age. So love that. Raise is good. I can't ever get in, but if I do ever get in, it's good. And then the last place I've been going to, I guess not that it's like easy to get in, but I always find myself having like a good time there, is Studio 151. I don't know. It just seems like chill. And it's just like, I don't need, I'm really over the whole, like, I'm not over it, but I have gone to Acme, but it's like those places sometimes not freak me out, but I feel like it's one of those places I could do in small doses, like once every 6 months. If, you know, my roommate who's best friends with the bouncer can just like get us in. I'm too old to be like,
to be waiting in line.
Yeah. And so I feel like Studio 151 is one of those places that it just feels like more adult. I don't need to be no one needs to see me dancing. I don't want to dance. Really, like, I don't need the music to be too loud. Like, I just feel like everyone just needs to chill out. We're all just gonna chill. And so I feel like I love that place. But yeah, Outer Heaven, I went to, and I just feel like that is just the coolest place, and I love it. And I want to be a regular. I want them to know me. I want to go every day.
Yeah, no. I mean, that's awesome, because Jack, who started Outer Heaven, was on the podcast like now almost 2 years ago. It was when he was still kind of getting into building the space. So it's really cool to see that it's like opened now. The space is awesome. It's so small. It's like,
he's small, but it they planned it well. I don't know. Yeah.
No, he's so meticulous about, and he understands like what makes a space good, and he cares about the right things, like the sound system and the drinks and the aesthetic. And it's like, I've been, it's super cool. I think he did a great job. So Studio 151, Outer Heaven are pretty different places, but
I know. I feel like it depends on my mood, but Outer Heaven is great. I mean, on the topic, since this is like a dating podcast, the first time I went, I saw that the person who was DJing, I had matched with him on Hinge. I matched with him on Hinge like maybe 2 years ago. And it was one of those things where like, he likes my picture. I say like, hey, how's it going? Something so annoying to respond to. And then he just doesn't respond. And so I'm like, cool. Yeah, me too. Whatever. And then it goes nowhere. So we saw him there and I was like, oh, that's the guy. And they're like, oh, you should like say hi. I'm like, one, he's DJing. So neither him nor me can hear anything if I go up to the booth right now. And two, I saw a really cute guy there that was like, he seemed like sort of in the production of like, he was behind the DJ booth and he just seemed like he was part of it. So I was like, scratch that. Like, I'm going for gray shirt. And then of course that went nowhere. And so I just like stared at him all night and didn't do anything. And then last weekend I got an email. I feel like a lot of places, I don't know how they get my email, but I got an email about Spring Place and it was so fun. We went, I gotta say, I don't know if this is like mean, but I feel like he didn't really get the vibe. I feel like seeing him at Outer Heaven, he did a great job with, you know, music and I guess just reading the room. At Spring Place, I don't know what it was, but it was just like not, it wasn't it. It was...
Where was the DJ set up at Spring Place?
It was on the roof, like towards the... like railing.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seemed a little too like EDM hard when it was just like, it's like a sunny day. I just want to like chill out. I feel like it was like he was on a, you know, LSD vibe and we were all on a shroom vibe and it was just not matching.
Yeah. I also think Spring Place has not yet found their niche in terms of going out.
Yeah.
What they've tried a lot of different programming and they have like a cool space. It's like a very cool space, but like it's not quite, it has not quite hit in the way that like the programming at other membership clubs have really like done well at.
And it's interesting because I feel like for the membership club, it's not even their program that goes first. And I'm not part of any, so how would I know? But I feel like they have like other things to build on that I at least build their, you know, reputation or vibe. Whereas Spring Place, it's like you go and it literally looks like you're entering a club at 1 p.m. So it's like just like a blank white space and it's a bunch of girls that all kind of look the same. And then a bunch of guys all wearing the same Stiegelman Sables. It's like the hat or the shirt. And I'm like, I get it.
I know. So you're a fashion person and I know you're a stylist, right?
Yeah. I'm like a private client, personal shopper.
Which I like live for your commentary on any fashion event that's happening. Like, I love your stories. But in terms of like fashion, is that something that like you really look for when you're dating someone? Because I feel like the New York City kind of like cool guy aesthetic is either you're like dressing like Nolita Dirtbag, Lower East Side, or you're dressing like you only are in West Village, Tribeca, yeah, in your office, yeah, and like you don't leave those three neighborhoods.
Yeah. I feel like it's funny because I feel like, not that it's like I'm the only one who does it, but I feel like to do like VIP styling or, you know, do freelance personal shopping, it's just like not a common thing where I feel like a lot of other girls are like, I'm in marketing or I study communications or whatever. And so I feel like an opening line on a lot of dating apps is a guy being like, rate my fit or like, what do you think of my style? Mm. And I'm like, everyone, I hate to say it because this is probably, it does probably come across as rude, but I'm just like, you look like every other white boy. Like every guy looks the same. Everyone has the white sneakers. Everyone wears the same thing. There's not like any time where I'm that like repelled. Like I'm never that repelled because I feel like, not that, I mean, I go out often enough, but it's not like, or I've never been in an environment where I'm not with some, you know, in a group of people that would dress that weird. I don't know. I also say this to any of my male clients a lot where they just have fewer options. There's fewer designers that are well known. And I guess that's like a side passion of mine is, you know, supporting emerging brands. Mm-hmm. But I feel like what is accepted in, you know, 2023 as what a heterosexual man can wear is just like pants, like a shirt. That's it. Girls, we can do, you know, jumpsuit, pants, dress, skirt, whatever. There's just less options for guys, which makes it easier, but also you can't really mess it up that bad. So
like for the guys who might be listening, what's your advice on how to dress for a date or going out, or like what are some designers to maybe look for?
Well, I feel like there's a lot of memes right now that are like straight guys like girls, but girls like gay guys.
Yeah.
And so now gay guys are dressing like heterosexual men and heterosexual men are dressing like gay guys now.
Yeah, because it's gay guys want to be with straight guys.
Yeah.
Straight girls want to be with gay guys who dress like gay guys.
Yeah.
And then like, so gay men are dressing more straight, like wearing Carhartt and construction worker type shit. Straight men are dressing more gay.
Yeah.
Like I don't,
like
quote unquote whatever. Gay, like wearing Bodhi or something like that. And then I don't remember what, if it had anything to do with what the women were wearing, but like that's kind of the main,
like lesbians, I guess. I don't know. I feel like a lot of the time I'm like, oh, he's so cute. And then all my friends are like, he's clearly gay. And I'm like, I feel like it is. I actually watched a podcast about from two gay guys and they were like, there is this like stereotype. I don't know if it's a pressure. I'm not a gay man, so I don't know, but it's like there is a stereotype that they do dress well, where it's like if you don't, then it, I feel like in middle school or, you know, being metrosexual, it's like if you just take care of yourself and do normal hygiene, then like that's considered gay.
I know, bars like on the floor.
Yeah. So it's like a weird fine line where it's like if you dress too well, it's like
you're gay.
Yeah, are you gay? Yeah. And then if a guy is into fashion, I think if I wasn't in fashion and a guy was, I would just feel like, why do you have so much time to know about these things? Like, who are you texting? Like, why do you know what Bodhi is? Like, you're not supposed to know that. It's the same kind of vibe as like men aren't allowed summer birthdays, you know? Like, you're not allowed.
What?
Like, that's for girls. Like, fashion's like for girls. Like, if that makes sense. It's almost the same vibe as like if a guy is into fashion, it's like, no, that's not for you. Like, well, it's almost like, who told you about that?
Who told you about it?
It's like,
yeah,
I'm
like
supposed to tell you about that. Like, what girl told you? Like, I'm the only girl you're ever supposed
like. It's
to
sus.
Have. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I interviewed somebody who was gay the other day, and he was like, people when they look at me, they think I'm straight, but because I dress well, I'm like giving gay.
Yeah.
And so he was like, I dress better than the average straight man, and so I just, you know, I think people then catch on.
Yeah.
I'm gay. I was
know.
Like that, you know, it kind of sucks that like, you know, dressing well is correlated with that. But I think guys now more than ever are taking an interest in how they're dressing. Even if it's still just like the same uniform of like the ALD hat and the gray shirt and like wide leg Carhartt pants and white sneakers.
Or even from like that sector of guys who they went to Penn or Princeton and, you know, they're never going to buy Carhartt. It's just like, that's not them. They work at, you know, a bank. Like,
yeah,
they are straight. They want to be cool. They know, you know, what Mulberry Bar is and the Nines, but like, they're not going to, you know, move to Brooklyn. Like, it's like that group. And that is probably the group that I could help the most, just because I know they have the money. All they need is just like a few graphic tees with some random stupid logo on the, you know, left chest, and a good pair of jeans, the same Common Project sneakers everyone has, which like it's a good formula and it works. And I always say
basic, not too adventurous, but slightly elevated to show that you're caring.
Yeah, because I feel like they have the money. They don't necessarily have the time to really think about
what they're wearing. Yeah.
Nor is it like their biggest hobby or passion to, you know, think about clothing or whatever. So I enjoy like helping friends, you know, do that. Or if I'm ever seeing someone, I always offer to like, you know, use discounts and, you know, my whatever and help them. Yeah, I feel like for the most part, guys have it.
They have it so easy.
Yeah.
And what about for like our women who are listening? Like, what would you recommend for people to wear, or if they want to kind of like get out of that sort of like basic uniform that people get into?
That is a question where, one, I took my Adderall this morning, and two, I have OCD. So like, I could probably answer that question over the course of the next 4 weeks, but I think it depends on everyone's style. So I feel like one, a good place that I think people overlook is like going to your cool friends or cool people you follow, look at their following list, and you can almost tell on Instagram like what's a brand, because it'll say like something studio or the official blank, or just by their icon. It's usually white with a black letter. And just scrolling through if you have like free time and just seeing like, oh, like that's a new brand I've never heard before. Or they can just DM me or follow me and I can help them, just because I get so detailed into this. But my current favorite brands are Interior. I connected with them on Instagram first, and then I met them at a fashion event. They were just so nice. And that's why I like the two people who designed it. I just really find that fashion is so serious, and like a lot of people think like, oh,
I'm doing the most important thing in the world.
Yeah. And I'm just like, bro, what the fuck? We're not surgeons. Like, chill, like take it down a notch. There's a lot of French brands who act that way, where they think they're doing God's work. And I'm just like, it's a shirt. Like, I remember when I was an intern, like I would cry when like someone's order got messed up, or like some, you know, rich housewife, her hat got ruined during delivery. And I'm like, why am I crying? I don't know this woman. Like, what is happening?
No, like I interned in fashion, like in high school and college. I always thought that like maybe that was a route I was going to go down. And I remember just the stress that I felt. Like, I was working at like Oscar de la Renta, and I was organizing like POs and fucking buttons.
Yeah.
And I was like lugging fabric across like 90 degree weather in Bryant Park, like across the garment district. And then the next summer I worked in healthcare, like Johnson and Johnson, and I was like, oh,
this matters. Yeah. it was 1 year, I think it was 2 years ago, I almost left Thanksgiving early to make sure that my client got her Chanel loafers on time before she left for a trip where she didn't really need them. It was just more so like, oh, I would prefer to have them for this trip. I literally almost left my family Thanksgiving, which if you follow me, you know, Thanksgiving is like such a big thing. Like that's insane. But anyways, fashion brands that I like, Interior, Kate, I hate to say it. I feel like it's one of those things where it's like, I'm kind of shocked Nolita Dirtbag never talks about it. Everyone is obsessed with it because it is good.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, if you hate it, you're just like, right, it sucks for you because they are good. So I will say, I think just in American, I guess not established brands, but like emerging designers, I think Kate is probably the top. If I guess they can follow me and ask me if they want any brand
recommendations. I mean, it's anonymous, so.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you figure it out based on my voice.
Well, people can slide in platonically for you. Yeah. So if they're trying to up their fashion game or they are really interested in fashion, you know,
I actually have a lot of, I think all my freelance jobs that I'm doing now are all people just sliding in my DMs on Instagram.
Nice.
And I do it for strangers all the time. So if anyone listens to this
styling, yeah,
even just wants to pick my brain about new brands or anything, I'm do.
Yeah, great. So I want to go back to dating a little bit, yeah, because we've obviously touched on a lot of different things, but you had mentioned Hinge. Like, how are you sort of meeting people right now? And I mean, I don't know if you said, but like, were you in a relationship in high school ever? Or was like your first relationship like in college or after? Like, have you never been in one? What's sort of your like history there?
Oh my God, I love talking about myself. Okay, so here we go. So I feel like my friends are definitely going to listen to this and they can contradict me if they want. But I think in general, I've had one actual serious, both, you know, equally participating relationship. That was in college. It was a year ended just because I ended up moving to LA for a PhD program. I have nothing, like he was like, not the one that got away. It was more just like he was the right person at that time, not my person forever. But I do think he's just like the best person ever. Wish him the best. My first boyfriend was freshman year of college. He was from the city. It's a whole story. He was taking a gap year. We both cheated on each other. That's how it ended. It was very toxic. But also like that was when
freshman year of college.
We were 18, yeah.
Who cheated on who first?
So I don't know because we weren't official.
Mm.
He thought I was committed to him, even though we never had a talk, which to me, we're not anything until we
talk about it.
So, as a freshman, I was sort of getting close to, a senior and so he was taking a gap year. He had nothing going on, or like he wasn't, you know, socializing and experiencing college like I was.
Mm. Didn't meet in college.
We met the summer before.
Okay.
And so when I went to college, I was like, oh, okay, bye. Like that was a fun summer. See you never. But then I, of course, ended up seeing him, you know, because there's 1,000 breaks for some reason. There's Columbus Day break, there's Thanksgiving break, then there's winter break and blah, blah, blah. And so I would see him a lot. But then I would just go back to school and I would hang out with this other guy.
Yeah.
And so then I think because Emory was a city school and he was from the city, I think he found out that I was sort of hanging out with someone else. But again, we didn't.
Never talked about it.
Yeah. So I don't know. And then he did visit me twice, which that was on him. I did appreciate it. It was fun. And the second time he did it on my birthday, which was my sorority formal. And that was at the end of the year. So that was almost a year later. That was end of April.
Mm-hmm.
He asked me to be his girlfriend. And then the next day I did see the other guy. So that was cheating. But so then I think 2 weeks later I had my econ final, which now that we've talked about, I majored in art history. I was already going to fail that. Like there was no way. It didn't even matter what was going to happen. So yeah. I guess I just took the chance and decided to tell him an hour before that I cheated on him. Cause I think we had talked about hanging out all summer and I'm a talker. Like there's no way I couldn't have like lied forever.
Yeah.
So I had to tell him. And so I ended up telling him right before my econ final. So it's dumb. And he goes, joke's on you. I was cheating on you like the whole time because I knew that you were hooking up with that guy. And I'm like, what a psychotic move.
Yeah. Also then why would you ask to be in a relationship?
Yeah. And also, I mean, so now plot twist, I now live with one of the girls that he hooked up with.
Oh my God.
And like laugh about it. But also he was hooking up with multiple people, whereas I was just seeing one person.
One person.
I will say it's worse because I feel like I was more emotionally attached. Yeah. So
I mean, it just sounds toxic all around.
Yeah. But that was when I was 18. So I feel like 10 years later, I'm much better. So yeah, had one real relationship, and then I feel like I did. I'm so glad I'm out of it. I feel like I did 3-ish years of just like a situationship. It literally went on back and forth like 6 times. And I fully, you know, he knows I did love him. I genuinely thought he was the one. Looking back, like I'm glad that happened to me when I was 25 and not like I'm not in that now. I feel like.
And you met how?
We he went to Horace Mann, but he, and then Penn. So like we had a lot of mutual friends, but we actually met on the league, which like no one uses anymore.
I think it really fell off.
It was elitist. So it's fine.
It was elitist, but like, honestly, not enough.
But it also wasn't, it wasn't even a good dating app because they only gave you like 3 a day. And yeah. I know you know, some apps do limit the amount of people you could see at a time, but that was way too little.
Yeah. I don't think I ever went on a date with anyone from the league, and I had it for years. So
yeah, but that, I'm glad. I feel like that was one of those things where I mean, even now I look back and I'm like, I had to go through that and realize like that was one, like such a classic thing. Like never wanted to date me. I was always there. Because I liked him a lot and I would do anything.
Yeah. But he didn't want to commit.
Yeah.
How did that end?
So it was funny because every 20,000 times that like it ended, it was like him saying, I'm just not looking for anything serious right now, which is like,
yeah,
boy, texting you, even though you didn't, like, I didn't ask.
Yeah,
like,
you never asked.
I didn't ask, even though like in my head, I'm like, I genuinely want to marry this man. But right. Again, I did not ask. So, whoa. So it would be like, he texts me that. He's like, I think it's getting a little too serious. Or like, I think you're getting a little too attached. Which like, yes, I was already there.
Yeah.
But
you never said.
Yeah, I never said it. Maybe drunk. I mean, I know, drunk. I said a lot of things when I was drunk. But it would end with him saying that. And then every time that happened, honestly, I'm proud of myself. Every time I sent those texts, it would be, you know, I'd be like, okay, it's finally done. It's over. I'm going to, you know, get a revenge bod, which never happened. But I'd be like motivated. I would, you know, end up seeing him at a party and all of his friends would come up and say, you know, like, you're honestly way better. And his friends told me that the entire time. But I would just feel so much better. I'd be like, okay, like, great. We're done. Like, I'm free. Like, I'm so glad. Like, it's over. And I would like have the best time. And then 3 months later, I would get a little text being like, hey, work cleared up. I'm not as busy now. Like, do you want to get a drink? Meanwhile, like, work was never the problem. It was me. And it, like, I was the problem and got back with his ex. And then that ended. And then he would get back with me. But finally, it ended with actually me, which I'm so like glad that I did, just because it had to end. I finally was like, clearly, if you were my person, we would have already been dating the first time. Like,
yeah.
And not that I did it on purpose, but I ended it around Halloween, like 2 years ago. And his best friend went to the law school where I was visiting. And I've met him a bunch of times. So clearly, I was like, whatever. And I took a bunch of pictures with him, which I didn't do like on purpose. I genuinely was excited to see him. And they're very close now. Made that connection. So 2 days after I ended it, I was like with his best friend. And I just posted all those photos. And then he ended up messaging me saying, I think we should still talk. And I go, why? And he goes, we can still talk every, like, I just thought that maybe we could just still talk every like 2 weeks or something.
Oh,
and
I'm
like,
my God.
And at this point, I was so like, I was at this point is where I was having like conversations with my best friend at law school. And I was like, am I insane or what is happening? And we walked around the park for like 2 hours and she was like, you need, like, girl, this is not it. And I was like, I feel like that was the first time where I like saw the light or like came out of it. Like, he's not it. If it was it would have already been happening. This is just going to go on forever until you marry the ex. And I'm sure that they will.
Yeah.
And when that engagement post goes up, I have a bikini photo ready to fill up the very next day. But yeah, so that was 3 years, maybe 2.5.
Jesus.
And that ended like 2 years ago. So, and I've not dated anyone seriously since then. So
you've been single now for the past 2 years. Yeah. And the thing with that is like, guys are so afraid to lose what they have, but they don't want to commit to what they have. It's like always this kind of flux state of like doing the bare minimum to hold on. And I mean, my first ex, like when we broke up, we were long distance and I could tell that things were like slipping. They weren't the same. Yeah. Like things felt different and he never said anything to me, but I called him and I was like, what's going on? And he was just like, I don't know. Like, I've just been thinking and I feel like I'm just like unsure about this relationship. And I was like, were you ever going to tell me that you were unsure? Like, why am I the one calling and asking you?
What would he have gained to just be forever?
Exactly. And like, it's not like he ever told me that that's how he was feeling, but I just felt it and I called him out on it. And I was like, well, I don't like, it's been like this for like enough time that I don't feel like it's worth me having to go through this anymore. Even though he was unsure, like, I was the one who was sort of like, okay, well, we should end it. If like you can't make the decision, like, I'm gonna make the decision, even though I was like more invested in the relationship at that point than it seemed like he was. But then when that happened, he, like, after we broke up, he was like, you know, can we still talk like once a week or like once a month? And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I was like, no, we can't. We can't do that. But it's always that, like, once they realize they're losing you, they'll like hold on for dear life because they're like, no, never mind.
Oh, yeah, no. I used to block, like, right after that whole thing happened, I blocked him because I also drunk text a lot. I'm not a drunk caller because I love to talk. And I just, I, if they're not going to listen or if they're not awake, oh, I'm going to, we're going to have a conversation. Like, I'm going to talk. The shit that I say drunkenly is just, it's honestly, I'm never embarrassed by it because
that's a superpower. Because I'm also a drunk texter and I've had to like physically like have my phone be taken away from me.
But I feel like it's almost, it's just like fun. Like, I feel like it almost just goes along with like my, if you die tomorrow, like,
yeah,
this shit. Like, it's funny. It's just like, also like, I never say anything mean. It's more so just like me revealing stuff, which if you know me, like, I just, I have no filter. I don't give a fuck anyways. So I would have said it at some point
to you anyway.
But oh yeah, no, I blocked him so that I couldn't do anything. And also, I like, I don't want to hear from you. Although I feel like I never block them on my computer, so
you're never fully cut off.
I know. So I that was the thing. I blocked him on my phone, and then he ended up texting me like, say it was in January, so this was 2-3 months later. After I ended it around Halloween, and he texted me from my computer and I saw it on my computer and I was like, so at that point I had just gotten a new job and he was like, oh, by the way, like, stopped by the store. And I'm like, okay, great story. Do you want to like, great. And then he's like, I need a suit. And I'm like thinking, I'm like, he's definitely going to like an event with the ex right now. And like, I just can't, it doesn't matter. And I don't really block anyone anymore, but that I think that that was honestly something good that I did, that I think helped a lot of just like, I don't know, knowing that they're blocked. Like,
yeah,
I would meet a lot in college when I would be on like on and offs with people and they would make me mad one night and I'd be like, all right, you're blocked. And I would, you know, tell them on Snap, like, by the way, you're blocked. Like, so I don't know.
I'm dead. So in the past 2 years then, like, how have you been dating since then?
I feel like if I'm thinking about all the thousands of suitors, no. I want to say maybe like two. I think there over the past 2 years, I want to say there was one person who I was seeing for like 4 months. And it obviously got to that point where I was like, all right, like, I let you have another month because usually it's 3 months and I want to have the talk. And so I asked him and he was like, yeah, I want a date. And I was like, all right, bye.
Yeah. So how are you meeting people right now? You said you met this guy off the league.
Now I feel like, not that I like gave up. I feel like I love to complain about dating apps when I'm just like not even using them right. Like I'll, you know, go on these sprees of, I'll go on Hinge, go through, you know, either the feed or most compatible, which sometimes is so humbling. It's like, wow, this is my most compatible.
I think Hinge is intentionally rude, so don't take that personally.
And it's annoying because it's like you can only message your most compatible with a fucking rose, and you buy a rose with 10 gold coins, and you can only buy one coin if you get the diamond. It's like a fucking game. It's like, and then each diamond costs $1,000. Like, I'm not... It's annoying. Like, I do Locks Club and I do Raya. I hate to say it, but I feel like I meet the most people on Raya.
Really? Because I feel like with when I don't really know women who have found success on Raya.
I know. I feel like it is so slim because I feel like most, I feel like it's a better app for guys than girls because the guys that are on it, it's 90% gay photographers who live in Brooklyn who are looking for friends or people from out of town that do not live here. And it's like models or athletes. And they're all like 24 and just are excited to be on the app. And then it's a bunch of like straight girl models and influencers. And it's just like, great. I have like, how did this finance bro like get on here? Which again, it's like, why am I looking on Raya if I do want that? So, but yeah, I feel like I met one guy, the 4 month guy, on Raya, and he was great.
Was he a finance bro?
No. Yeah. It's all the same shit. But yeah, because I feel like I know what I don't know.
What do you want?
I feel like...
Because I feel like you're dating in a very specific circle of...
Because I feel like I know that that's ultimately what I want. Like, I do not want someone who works in fashion. One, because there are no straight men who work in fashion. But also, I just don't feel like two artsy, like, creative people usually get along in that way. I just feel like, you know, if I don't like their point of view or I don't like their art or their work, I'm just going to be so turned off. Like, yeah. We're not going to see eye to eye. And I just feel like it's a good balance for someone to, you know, you're more analytical, numbers, you know.
You're more creative.
Yeah. And that's how my parents are. But yeah, I just feel like I want to be like the cool one. Wow, this like sounds really bad. I'm not looking for a sugar daddy, but I don't know. I just, yeah. One thing I will say is I want someone who's really smart. And the first guy and the 3-year one, they're geniuses. And I really respect that a lot. And I'm definitely not meeting like a Mensa member on Raya, but I don't know. Like, it's hard to find like a straight smart man because I feel like most of the time it's like, oh, maybe I'll find like an intellectual at the MoMA or something. But it's like, why is a finance bro at the MoMA? You're like, no, you're not. You're not going to be there. So I don't really know. I don't know. I guess I could just walk around like Midtown or Brookfield Place at lunch or just like wait outside of Sweetgreen. I don't know.
Are you like, have you ever tried to kind of get out of that niche of maybe a finance bro, real estate, like maybe lives in downtown Manhattan, makes six figures?
I did date or not date. It was literally, I'm not even joking. I think it lasted for 2 weeks. A week, maybe. We met on Hinge. He's like in the military, and then he went to college like after, and then he was in tech. But he like did not care about, you know, money or college or you know any of the New York City stuff. But like upon entering his apartment, like he had a bike and like he loved his Birkenstock. And not that I'm not attracted to that, but it was almost like in my head, like, oh, I'm not going to be the girl for you. And we actually talked about it because he's like, I looked at your dating profile. And it's funny because this is exactly what my dad says, because I show, being an only child, they know everything. So I show them my profile. And it's actually funny to hear their responses to like what's out there. And they're like, ew, everyone is weird. But he said that my dating profile was like, he was like, oh, I thought you would only, you know, go to art galleries in the Hamptons and you're too classy and all that. And I'm like, but I mean, we got along and obviously it didn't work out, but still, I don't know. Part of me is like, that is me.
Yeah.
But it's not, I don't think I have like the personality or the thing. I'm funnier and friendlier than someone who thinks that they're that stereotype.
Right. I would agree. That's why I'm like.
But does that mean that like, am I supposed to like change my dating profile to then cater to a wider audience? I don't know.
Here's the thing about like a dating profile. I think it might be like, oh, I work in fashion and I went to certain schools and I look a certain way. But like, you can live into the stereotype of something and you can like come across as one way, but nobody's really going to know your personality unless they meet you. Right. Yeah. So it's kind of up to you to portray what you want to portray and attract who you want to attract. But I feel like when you're single, it's like try every single flavor before you just decide that you want vanilla.
Yeah. And I will say it is that guy with who liked biking sunlight and that. I was going to say, I was like, that's almost like good for me that he likes being outdoorsy and crunchy because I'm not like that. And like, I really do need to like exercise and go outside and like experience serotonin. And like that's being with someone like that would definitely bring out that side. And my best friends all said like, it actually would be good if you dated someone who like, you know,
it's like slightly different or out of the box of what you're expecting. I mean, yeah, my boyfriend like is an only child from Maine. Like,
how'd you meet? I was gonna ask.
We met off of a dating app.
Should I ask which one?
Bumble.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you think about Bumble?
So even my ex, who we were long distance, but I was living, I met him when I was studying abroad. So he lived in London and I lived in New York. We also met off of Bumble. So
really?
Yeah, I found personally I had more success on Bumble. I don't know why. I think I've maybe gone on like two Hinge dates in my entire life. Like, I never had success on Hinge.
That as like a, I guess, dating, I would call you an expert. Like, do you think that Bumble is a good app?
I think that certain people thrive on certain things, yeah. And also certain algorithms favor different things. So on Hinge, right, like I was constantly, even though I didn't have my preferences set to this, I was constantly shown Indian men.
Really?
And I've had other friends who are also like, you know, Asian or something and have the same experience. And it's like, not that you're filtering out for it, but I think maybe on the other end, like Indian men are looking for Indian women. So they might be filtering for me. So that's what I'm seeing more of. And so, and not that I have anything against like dating somebody who's Indian. It just, that was the only thing I was seeing. And I was like, what the hell?
Interesting.
So I wasn't like having a great experience on Hinge when I was dating. Bumble, I felt like I was getting a more diverse like group of people.
Yeah.
It's like somewhere between Hinge and Tinder, right?
Yeah.
I don't mind sending the first message. Honestly, like it's not really that big of a deal to me.
Interesting. Because that's always my biggest roadblock. Like
really?
I literally, it's not even, I don't care about sending the first message. It's more so that since I have like no filter, it either comes across in two ways. One, so formal. And it's almost like I do this with my clients where it's like, it's almost too formal where it's like, you're either a robot or just like chill out, or it is so inappropriate and way too forward. And I don't understand the vibe that all my, like, we have a joke in my, you know, my friends all know, like, I don't write any of my texts until I think I meet them. Like, I can't.
Yeah.
I don't know the line of like appropriate and funny and like a little flirty, like banter, like that. I do not know.
What I will say is like, what's not broke, like don't fix. So if you find one thing that works, like nobody, like you don't need to come up with something amazingly brilliant with every single match you have. Like on Bumble, you're not, you don't have to respond to something specific, yeah. Right? So if you have one line that works, then like just copy paste, honestly, like just send it.
I used to do that, and then I guess, I mean, I did the line myself, so I should have had someone else do it because that line was not good. And now I am starting to get like, oh, if you, and on Raya it is harder because there's no prompts or questions or anything, so you,
right,
like what am I supposed to, like, nice sunglasses, say. Like I don't know, but yeah, like I was left, so basically my friends were out east all Memorial Day weekend. We were messaging a bunch of guys on these apps. My friend was not me.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, if I have to see these people at any time, I have to study the conversation because that wasn't straight up not me.
I mean, I've written like so many of my friends'
conversations. Yeah. I mean, some people are just better at it and I'm not.
Yeah. It's a skill, honestly. It's like a skill you can put on your resume. Like how to talk to people on dating apps.
Yeah. I don't have it. I was, after they had all left, I was left to my own. And I ended up, it was honestly, I think it's a joke. He still hasn't responded. So clearly it's not funny, but I was left to my own devices and there was a new guy who, such an average white guy, no pet, no anything I could comment on.
Yeah.
And so I thought it was funny, but I said, hey, have you ever had dinner before? Because clearly it's a joke. And he didn't respond. So whatever. I guess we wouldn't get along anyway.
Honestly, like with the right person, like they will respond to the conversation the right way. So if your opening line is like, hey, have you ever had dinner before? Which I think is hilarious. Like send that to, like if you're on Bumble, copy and paste, send it to a bunch of people. See who can match your energy. Like that's like, you know, my boyfriend and I matched and I had sent him some message about his photo or something, or his bio. And like he matched my energy and like I'm the kind of person who doesn't want to talk forever on a dating app. So I was like pretty quick. I'm usually pretty quick to be like, if I think you're cool or whatever, I want to meet you, I'm like, what's your number? Like, let's meet. I don't mind being the aggressive one. So like maybe that's why I find Bumble also like better for me. But I also think it changes, it ebbs and it flows. Like I, you know, back in the day I was like going on dates off of Locks Club even. So like
I personally loved that Locks Club came into existence only because, not that it is only Jewish, it is like what they say, it's like, you know, it's like a deli, like you have to be Jewish to enjoy it, but it did just feel like a better modern version of JDate and JSwipe and all that.
Yeah.
And I would prefer to be with someone Jewish.
Mm.
The one thing I will say, and I'm sure gonna hate me for this, I'm a tall girl. I'm sorry, but Jewish men are all like 4 feet tall. Yeah, I have to be able to filter. I have to. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they don't is so annoying because it's just like 5'8", 5'8". I'm 5'8". I can't do that. So it's just like, again, that's just one thing I would
That's the one qualm. I get it. So I don't think dating apps are the worst thing in the world. I think they are a device to meet people like who might be outside of your circle or on the outer rim of your circle. Like my boyfriend, we had mutual friends, but they weren't friends that like we would have ever met through, if that makes sense. But like I knew he was a real person. Like,
yeah, exactly.
But also we are very different. Like, we could not be more different. And like I said, only child from Maine. I grew up with siblings in the heart of New York City. He likes hiking. I could not hate anything more than hiking.
I never want to go hiking.
Yeah. Like, literally ever. Like, I don't even know how to ride a bike.
He can teach you, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, he's like, I'll teach you. And I'm like, sure, one day, maybe. but, you know, I think I expanded my horizons a little bit to I let somebody surprise me who I may have thought otherwise, you know?
Yeah. And I feel like, I am willing to like, I feel like a lot of people go through this where it's like, oh, I had this checklist. And then as you get older, it's like, oh, well, this doesn't mean that much to me. This, you know, isn't a deal breaker anymore.
Yeah.
So, the finance thing and all that.
I have also, I know that you said you would like rather date somebody who, or end up with somebody who's Jewish. And I understand that like people's religious sort of inclinations for the most part that like puts them in certain boxes for race.
Yeah.
But you know, like I said, it's worth trying every flavor before you settle on one idea of something.
I know, I mean, I'm open. I feel like in general, I'm just like, I would like to be in a relationship. Not that I'm looking for my person. I feel like I'm Alana from Broad City. Like I'm literally a child bride. Like I'm a baby.
I know, I'm a baby.
Yeah. So I'm not.
I feel the same way. We have been talking for a very long time. I end every episode with a segment called Shots. So these are rapid fire this or that questions. Oh, are you ready to do some shots?
Yeah.
Okay. Early bird or night owl?
Oh my God, I'm the biggest night owl ever.
Work hard or play hard?
Play hard.
Laundry or dishes?
Laundry.
TikTok or Instagram?
Ooh, lately, TikTok.
Coke or Pepsi?
Diet Coke.
Coffee date or drinks date?
I'll go coffee.
What is your favorite season right now?
It's always been spring.
And what's your favorite song right now?
Favorite song is, it's called New York, which should be the title of this episode because all we talked about was New York, but it's like by Stevie Aoki and someone.
What is your drink of choice?
A very dirty Martrix with a lot of olive.
And if you had a boat, what would you name it?
Maybe Sloan, because I love that name, but I'm also saving it for my daughter. So maybe the boat will be.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on and giving me so much of your time.
Thank you. This was so fun.
Yeah, I had a blast. If you are interested in matching with our guest, you can go onto our Instagram at drinks.first. And there is a Google form you can fill out if you're interested in matching platonically or romantically. And if you don't have an Instagram, you can go to flow.page/drinksfirst. Stay tuned for next time.